Alright, check out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio. Little Roger Waters. Picture that from his latest tour. I found
the love that song.
Shittiest quality bootleg I could find just for you fine folks out there. In studio with me, longtime pal.
Howdy.
Radio associate. Just all around hilarious.
Yeah, I drove 2 hours for you. I never want to hear that. You know, you don't like me.
I don't think I've accused you of not liking
me. No, and I don't think you've ever used that tone either.
I think you don't like me.
Yo,
understandably yeah. So, for
I
knowing
drove
me.
2 hours to get here because I was in Central Jersey because I was doing the Uber Lyft thing. And where I, when I finished, I was like pretty far. So, sat in New Jersey traffic for you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Joe Conti. It means a lot to you.
It's my first time in the new place, the new studio.
That's right. Not even just on the show in a while, but you haven't been to the... I was just telling you when you came in. Yeah, it's been a year about since I've been here.
Yeah, and it's great.
I've talked about it before, but...
Yeah, this studio.
Me, this is like, a paradise.
This is great. This is it's like a studio, and it's almost like a studio apartment. Studio slash
It is. And I don't know if you noticed, like, the flight of stairs and all the concrete in between... So I get to crank that amp in 5.1 subwoofer.
Nobody hears nothing, huh?
Dude, I've tested it. I mean, really tested it. Like, almost to the max. At 1 in the morning.
And nothing?
Nothing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you're destroying some girl's vagina with that large, giant dick of yours, nobody will fucking hear.
or in my...
2 minutes in, and we're talking about Coletta's cock.
Well,
right?
Or in the real world. It's when my heart's being destroyed by a girl up cranking Phil Collins and they can't hear the drums upstairs.
Right, exactly.
That's, you know, drinking.
You should be playing Huey Lewis while you're smashing her over the head with a fucking anvil. Get a little American Psycho going.
But yeah, Joe Conti, of course, from the Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights right here on More Like Radio. And, you know, just like my show, you know, there's occasional weeks that the show is not performed live.
Yeah, we had two weeks in a row we didn't perform.
It's been a month for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was on vacation. And
Well, some people are, at least one person is very vocal about
this
it.
That's why I bring it up. Yeah, no, I love it. But whatever. I'm not going to go into my excuses or reasons. But it's just, you know, whether it's not having the right co-host, because I'd rather put out no show than what I think would be a shit show.
Right.
First of all, if it's just me, no. I tried that.
It's hard, man. It's
maybe unless if I you're do one a half hour, okay. But not for... Yeah, and then I feel crazy talking to myself, more crazy than usual.
Yeah, and then you sound like fucking, what's his face, Alex Jones, you know? Then you just sound like a crazy person.
Especially about the chemtrails. I don't know if you've seen those, Joe.
No, but so, I've heard about...
We all breathe them in. And they're detrimental.
Well, they're the ones that, between that and HARP, they're the ones that are...
Well, that's why we just had this hurricane.
Well, back in 2012, there was another... I was just watching this. It was a conspiracy that Obama was caused... He caused Hurricane Sandy.
He did. I heard
and
that.
And now Trump caused the Hurricane Harvey and Irma.
I just love the fact that there are people listening, possibly for the first time, and think we're serious.
Oh, okay. That you can sense the sarcasm.
No, some people can't. And I remind me to get back to that, if you will, please, sir.
Okay.
That is a topic I want to get into tonight.
But people recognizing sarcasm?
That and what I was going to say we, but I don't want to bring you into this. What I do on the show.
Okay.
But, I told Conti before the show, you know, load up the laptop, get in the chat if you want, and he starts laughing. I'm like, what? What is it? And if you want to share.
Yeah,
Joe,
somebody like 2 hours ago went into the chat.
On the morelikeradio.com live chat room.
Yeah. And they guessed 647-556. That's an interesting name.
Well, at least they're not anonymous.
Right. Joe, it's obvious that the show isn't in your interests anymore. First, you cut the show down to almost 2 hours. Now we're lucky to get you to do your show twice a month. You should just quit the show and leave internet radio to people who still have their heart into it. You had a good long run, but you've obviously lost interest and been calling it in. Love you and we'll miss you. Good luck with your future, Joe.
See, I don't know if that is an insult or...
It can't be, because at the end, we said, well, that's, I love you, miss you, and good luck with the show.
I know. Is that
that's
genuine?
That's you're a douche. No offense.
That's
and
right.
It just Yep, LOL. Right. It's just,
I just want to take the time to tell you to go fuck yourself. Thanks for nothing. But yeah, at the same
it resolves
time,
everything.
Luck.
It resolves everything.
Right?
Yep. You just become, but you know.
Like I said to Joe before the show, I'm shocked people even noticed the show.
Hey, you're up the air?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I take away from it. So thank you, whoever that was.
Yeah, but hopefully they'll come back in the chat.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But, I mean, Conte, you've been doing this a little bit longer than me.
About the same time, right?
Which is, yeah.
2005, right? I think you actually started in February.
I started in October.
Of 2005?
06.
Oh, okay. So we started in July of 05.
Yeah, so it's just a little bit.
A little bit. Back when the word podcast hadn't been invented yet.
There was no such thing. Our shows went out, and
just
then
internet
was it.
Radio,
it
yeah.
didn't get uploaded. If you missed it, you missed it.
I think you could. There were websites where you could take it and just click, and like they saved it on like the website.
That was an option. Yeah, and perhaps that's what we paid an hourly rate for.
That's probably what we did.
And
yeah.
I think that was offered. Yeah, but
it was just internet radio.
There was no iTunes. There was no.
There was no iTunes like or podcasts and bean pods and you know all these different pods.
Yeah,
that's why I always said I've been. You know, I think me and Kenny have the world's record for doing the longest podcast show without making any money.
Right.
I think we have the record.
So now that being said, it's had to have crossed your mind, like I'm sure. You know
what?
Does.
Blowing my brains out. Yeah.
Aside
couple times.
From that.
Yeah.
Just like, should I just either take a break or
absolutely.
Just stop?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think. Like 80% of it of staying is because of Kenny.
Yeah.
Because I think he really enjoys doing it. Not that I don't enjoy doing it.
Incredible.
But, you know, part of it is just, you know what? It's a fact.
Sometimes it becomes more of a job than it should.
It's not that it's not that it's a job. It's just that it's leading. It's just getting, it's like getting there and then getting set.
That's what I mean.
And going.
Just, yeah.
But like once you're doing it, it's still so much fun, you know.
Well, that's what happens every time.
Yeah.
I have that mentality of maybe I'll this right here. What am I, nuts? I fucking love this. Just
yeah.
talking to you.
Yeah,
right
and
here.
It's like, and then when you find out that there's more than three people listening,
right?
You know, you're like, holy shit, there's actually people that like this. You know, right. Whether it's you know, like I still think 30 people download the show.
That's what I think.
What,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you know. And yeah,
a while ago, I stopped looking to find out. Numbers.
I don't even know how.
For me, I don't know how I can get a definitive, accurate. But if I could, I don't think I would want to know.
The only thing I did find out was one time when me and Kenny restarted again because we took
that
year,
break and
yeah,
right.
And we got like a number where how many downloads we had gotten in the 1 week, and the guy who you know runs our studio, Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Told us, and I was like, oh wow, that's actually kind of cool. Like, it's a lot more than I thought, and still not nearly as much as, like, you know, anybody who's, you know, has like a popular podcast. But I was like, holy
like
shit,
stand ups that are well known,
yeah, you know, like Rogan and these guys who, you know,
Burr, that, Florentine, whatever,
yeah, you know, I mean, and that's the problem is that, you know, you have guys that are already well known doing a podcast, so they're instantly going to get that initial.
Audience or
push, and then they can put on a good show, and then right. hopefully get more people to talk about it,
and sponsors,
yeah. You know, I know what there's certain numbers where you have to get to, you can get like you know legitimate sponsors to actually pay,
right?
Yeah, X amount of downloads or whatever it is, but you know it's still fun though. You know, I enjoy doing it.
It is.
It's a good time.
It is.
Get to spew out your nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. It's different than doing the stand-up, which I do.
Right.
You know, and you get to, you know, this is your pretty much your one voice, right?
Yeah. I mean, these days, yeah, I compare it sometimes to, like, you know, a free psychologist
yeah.
doing the show.
Yeah.
Not every show. That would
right.
be, you know, too much. But that and, you know, just, yeah, like you said, outlet, just for comedy, just putting
yeah.
whatever out there.
To be able to, you know, vent. Rant a little bit,
right.
you know, do whatever comes to, you know, mind that day or that week
but
or
now,
that moment.
Of course, problems do come into that, especially with me. I mean, you've known me for years, and
yeah.
you know I'm not really the same guy I was in my 20s, thank Christ.
Yeah.
So I'm not as bad as I was years ago. But
I always liked you. I always said this. I like this kid. I always did. Even though you were a shithead.
That's why I'm really
But you were an interesting kind of a shithead.
Thank you. But I am thankful that you're one of the few that didn't just immediately write me off as a total jerk off, which at the time I was. I was, you know, again, early 20s. I thought I was king shit. And, you know, I guess that's most, or maybe not most, mentality at that age.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, you know, it's that invincible
type of
thing.
I mean, of course, you know, the pills and hard booze didn't help.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that just amplified.
I mean, what were you, remember that shit that you were getting and you were crushing it up?
Oh, my God. Poppy pods. Yeah. I was ordering.
Yeah, basically. You were
opium flowers that were dried up, sold legally for decorations, quote unquote.
Yeah, and you were crushing it up. And
in a coffee grinder, and I was literally drinking morphine.
Yeah, you were pulling a Scott Weiland, Chris Farley fucking bit.
And it was a 12-hour morphine.
Insane.
High. It was nuts. And you can't find those anymore.
Probably not, right?
Yeah, no, I looked.
Oh, you did? Okay. Just Googled
it. No, that was actually, believe it or not, man, that was 7 years ago I stopped those things. But I think it came up on the show, actually, a year or two ago when we just went looking, and they're gone. You just can't get those anymore. But yeah, so anyway, the point is I've toned things down.
Yeah.
But I still have gotten more than on one occasion, and of course it's always with a gal who I'll meet,
mm-hmm.
say they have no idea of the show, or they know a little bit, right? They've heard of it. And then, you know, things will go good. I'm not even talking about like a date. Say it's a mutual friend, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
But just, you know.
Good vibe.
We had a good time, right? And then they check out the show. And I've heard this more than once, maybe more than twice. So, which person are you? And it's like, you're just with me in person. Do I have to answer that?
Yeah.
And then, so I'm in this position of defending.
Or having to explain
that,
you know, this is an extension of me.
It's a dry sense of humor. I know it's not for everyone. It's a dark sense. But the point is, it's for entertainment. You know what I mean? But the fact that I have to explain that, I don't know. It gets in the way sometimes.
Well, I think it's people that don't. They just don't know.
And they don't have the type of sense of humor that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a shitty thing for me to say. I don't know.
Well, you know, you can chalk it up to, well, just because they don't know this world. You know, they were never a radio fan or a person who liked, you know, this type of comedy. And then you can actually say, yeah, you know what? Maybe you just don't have the, you know, the kind of humor that you kind of need to enjoy this type of thing.
I'll be the first to admit this is not like mainstream comedy, what I do.
Right.
Yeah, but that's why I like it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm happy with a fringe amount of people that listen or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
it's an offshoot or whatever extension of yourself. Doesn't mean it's you.
Right, that's what I find so hard to explain. I think you just put it brilliantly, that it's not like some other person. It's an extension.
It's an extension of yourself. It's like when somebody gets drunk, and they're like, you know, they're a little bit, more out of control.
This could be a bad analogy, because sometimes that just shows a person's truly a.
Sometimes, but you know, then there's sometimes where it's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, he was a little bit, you know, he was a little bit so-and-so or a little bit this, but he was drinking.
A little out of order.
You know, it's like, no, think you were a little bit.
You know, he just died yesterday?
Yeah, Frank Vincent, right? Yeah. That was sad.
I know.
78. I heard he lived right in Jersey in Nutley.
Yeah.
Nutley, New Jersey.
Yeah, he was always in Jersey.
Yeah.
I know we're all over the place, but I met him at a Nets game. Late 90s, maybe, you know, 99. I just happened to go with people. Obviously, I did not buy a ticket to a fucking basketball game.
You don't even like sports.
I hate them.
Right.
So I was just along for the ride, but I was outside wherever the Nets play. I couldn't even tell you. Somewhere in Jersey.
Yeah, the Izod, at the time, it is the Izod now.
Right, okay. So it's Frank Vincent. For those of you who don't know, that's Billy Batts from Goodfellas, Phil Leotardo from Sopranos. He's outside. This is like when cell phones first came out. So he's on his phone. But I don't notice it. For one, they just came. So you're not used to. You see someone standing in a crowd.
You're not thinking that they're on their phone, right?
Right. But he was. He was with a guy, some other older guy.
I think I remember you telling me this.
And I just thought they were talking to each other.
Right.
So I walk up, move my hand out, and I go, "Oh, big fan, man, something like that. And he's looking down, and then I saw the phone against his ear. And he doesn't so much move his head, but his eyes go up, and he gives me that, I'm going to fucking dig a hole for you if you don't get away from me. That fucking, that
yeah.
look.
Yeah.
That, and so
that fucking that, thousand-yard stare.
So I got pissed for about 10 seconds.
Right.
And I laughed it off.
And, yeah, you know, yeah.
And his friend, I'll never forget, and pretty much yelling at me, wait till he's off the phone. And, you know.
Did you at least say, I didn't know he's on the phone, and walked away?
I was about to say, I couldn't even muster that up.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, this is such a fuck up. I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah, you
I'm
got nervous.
Cut my losses. There's no coming back.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to fucking, you know.
And what am I going to do? Quote a shine box line the guy I haven't heard before? So fuck it.
Let's just exactly.
Keep moving along, asshole.
Be like every other person that's seen him in the last fucking 9 years since Goodfellas came out.
Right. But where were we before Frank Vincent? Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah, no, it sucks, though, because at a certain point, and like I said, I've dealt with this a couple times, I just got to go, you know what, I'm just not going to...
But was it a while ago?
What?
Like, you said this has happened a couple of times.
Right.
Let's say three.
Okay.
Was it recent, the last one?
Oh, yeah.
And then before that, was it a long time, like a long time ago?
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Because,
to say.
You know, you don't... You know,
but the other problem is, like, there's clips of my show
okay.
from years ago.
Right, so, like, right, okay.
Who knows what yeah. comes up.
Because, you know, you don't, you're not, see, that's, like, it's funny. I talk about, I use, like, Stern as an example and Metallica as a prime example. People get pissed because Metallica doesn't sound like 80s Metallica anymore. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, when Kill 'Em All came out, these guys were 18.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys are in their late 50s now. They're not going to be the same. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a dilution about it. There's going to be a little bit of, you know, like a diluted thing
but
about it.
Everyone evolves to a certain degree.
Yeah. And you know, it's like, you know, people talk about Stern. And you know, even though I think, you know, Stern made a big mistake by not bringing somebody in as like a third person again.
The mistake was bringing in whatever that woman is to change, you know, Gary the retard to... All those,
Gary the slow person.
Whatever
even though
it is.
He'll it's weird. He'll say retard.
See, I haven't
it's
listened.
Weird.
Does he still say?
He'll did not Gary the retard. He's Gary the conqueror. Right. I don't know. I don't listen to it.
The last I heard is he put in all this PC policies where he doesn't say words that got him to where he is.
I don't know. I hear certain things, but you know, it's like they want him to be the same guy when he was 30 years old. The guy's 63 or 64.
Oh, that part I get. Yeah.
So it's. You know, you evolve. You're different.
Of course.
But no, I know what you're saying. But, you know, listen, I think that, you know, he was doing all that because he wanted to make a name for himself. And he wanted to show people, this is what I can do, and I'm going to get fucking listeners.
And in the
I'm
right
be
context,
huge.
It's also funny to say those words.
Of course.
Still, to this day.
Yeah.
You know, but.
But, you know, anyway. And the thing is, I think that some people may think, oh, you know, listen to him, you know? And it's like, well, take in, if they already met you,
well,
take in the person.
That's what I find so baffling.
Yeah,
that
take in the person what I am. And then, if you listen to that, take it for what it's worth. Yeah. You know, obviously, I mean, you know, if they say, well, which guy are you? So what do you think, I put on a fucking, you know, I put on a facade when I hung out with you for 8 hours?
Right, which is more likely, that I'm exaggerating when I'm doing an entertainment show?
Right.
Or when I'm... out in public, just...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we all, when you first meet somebody, and you know, if you're like going on a
date.
Yeah, that's different. You know, you're on your best behavior, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But when you're, like, even if it's somebody you know, and you're just kind of hanging out, and you're friends, and you're trying to see where it goes, you're kind of, you know, you're going to have an idea, you know, they're going to have an idea what kind of person you are, and that's going to be generally who you are.
Right.
So it's like, come on, you know, just figure it out. That's all it is. Figure it out. Do you think that I'm doing this and this is me, just the 2 hours a week that I'm on mic is really me, and the other 20, the other fucking 138 hours of the week
right.
is this fucking,
what makes
you know,
more sense?
Right, of course.
Yeah. But I don't know why I let it get to me. Like, I had the last text between this person was actually last Thursday,
right.
My first Waters concert. And then my luck. Right before Waters goes on stage, and I get the little, it's something along the lines of, definitely not the person I thought you were. And that, I'm like, ugh. Now I'm fucking. Now,
but that could be taken good. That could be taken good.
Oh, no,
good.
It was not good.
It was not good.
It
okay.
Was not good. I don't want to go into details. There's right. many reasons why I can't. But, yeah, no, it's just. But that's what reminded me of it. And like I said, it's happened before. But whatever. I just figured I want to get your take on it because you're really good at putting things a certain way. As
I put things over there. Then sometimes I take things, I put them over there. You know, I clean things up. I put stuff
you know.
Different places. I think that...
But that was a prime example right there, what I said. I can't articulate as much as you can.
It's just that when you are going through that, I think the best thing you can do is to just, you know...
For the future.
Yeah, not almost baby them. It's like somebody who's just first driving, don't just put them in a fucking Porsche and say, all right, let's go fucking, you know, let's go drive the slalom. Just baby them for a little bit. Try to... You almost over-explain what you're doing.
If I had it my way, like, if the girl doesn't already know about the show, I don't bring it up.
Right. Okay.
I mean, until, you know, a couple dates in, I might right. briefly mention. But then even then, I won't say the name because I don't... But we're also living in, you know, yeah. all they got to do is have your full name, Google.
You go on fucking
and
Facebook.
That's it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't even have to tell them.
Right.
So, but I mean,
I don't think there's anything wrong with you, you know, like, if you have to just, you know, over-explain it a little bit. And
what
just
mean by
be,
over-explain?
In other words, give them almost like a little bit of a speech and say, look, you know, even though in your head, logically, you're saying, they should just get it.
Right.
But don't give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they're going to get it. And don't look at them negatively if they don't. If you explain it and talk to them and then they hang out, and then they go, you know what? I'm going to like the person that I'm with and I'm not going to fucking care.
Right.
Then it's good. If they don't, who cares?
Yeah.
Because it's going to end up like that anyway.
Right. That's the thing.
There's nothing wrong with just, you know, being a little, baby him a little bit. Right. You know, just saying, listen.
When it becomes a constant interrogation, it's
no.
Like,
a couple times, you know, if you're going to explain it, and then just, and then that's it. Yeah. You know? But, I mean, if you don't, if you just sit there and go, how do you not get it? Take care. Then you're not giving yourself or the person a chance.
No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
It's that middle.
A couple times, and then just, hey, if you don't fucking get it, then, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit there and fucking, you know, beg to for you to beg to explain that this is who I am?
Right, that's when I have to tap out.
It's, yeah, exactly. You just, you know, tap out and take care.
Take care. Yeah, it's... Yeah, Robin in the chat has nice words. Hi, Robin. Good to see
you. Hey, it's Robin. Holy shit.
I know.
She's a peach, man. She's a fucking animal.
She's great.
You got to see what she does for fucking, for like my show. And the fucking, she gets on, she gets like
I'm
all these.
I'm ashamed to admit I haven't checked out your show in a while.
But she'll like go on Twitter and find all these fucking retweet accounts.
Oh, she is one loyal fucking person. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she gets fucking a lot of people, at least our name and tweets get out there that, you know, there's a show and, you know.
Right,
I don't know how many people are listening, but I don't care. It's still a great gesture, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Thursday was night one of Waters. We talked a while ago. I think you called in, right? We discussed it.
I saw the
rehearsal.
I saw the rehearsal tour. Concert in May. Yes.
That was that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was May 22nd or 23rd. And it was at the old Brendan, the Izod Center.
Right.
And it was only like, because it was all friends and family of like, you know, the different concert venues. So only like 3,000 people
right.
in like this 18,000 seat theater. I mean, stadium.
Right, right.
And it was great because you just walked around. You could sit pretty much wherever you want. And you just hang out. And when I first heard, I'm like, I don't want to go. What am I going to hear? Bring. Make it an A.
C minor,
I thought it was going to be a rock of rehearsal.
Rehearsal,
you know,
like
which
the first time.
If I got to meet him and hang out or, you know, whatever. But I heard it was like, no, it's a dress rehearsal of the concert. So you're just watching the concert.
Right.
And it was great. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it, you know. If you're a Floyd fan, if you're a Waters fan, you're going to go gaga for it.
Naturally, I bought four shows. Which I had an amazing time Monday and Tuesday. But it's really starting to show that I'm in my 30s now. Dude, two nights in a row in the city and then work the next day.
Oh, it's rough.
Fuck me.
Ooh, yeah.
It's, but, you know, And then the last show for me is Saturday, Nassau, which they tried to get canceled because apparently in, Suffolk County, is that where the Coliseum is?
Somewhere in Long Island, whatever.
They have this law where...
near Hempstead.
They're not allowed to do business with people who are involved in the BDS. And we don't have to go into all that shit.
What's a BDS?
Boycott, divestment, sanctions against Israel. That thing that Waters is involved in.
Oh, okay.
So they actually were going to cancel the two concerts, which, of course, they didn't. That'd be ridiculous for their economy. But anyway... So Tuesday night, I wanted to tell you this story because I think most of my friends, if I told this, they think, one, I'm losing my mind, and two, kind of, I don't know. I definitely want to get your take on this. So I'll try to make this quick. This is my second night at the Barclays Center this week. I go just by myself. This is one of the shows I have one ticket for. And I'm in the last row floor center. Perfect for most concerts. For Waters, you want to be a bit further back for the visuals. Anyway, there's this couple in front of me. Some guy about my age, some girl, some Spanish, you know, looking couple. And then to my left, there's two seats that are empty for the first couple songs. And this, like, big Spanish guy comes over. And, you know, he's standing to the left of me. All right, fine, cool. Everything's normal. And the guy in front of me starts turning around to talk loudly to the guy to my left. So now I got this crosstalk. While the show's going on, you know me in concerts, that I immediately get. I don't have it in me to just focus on the music and let that go. I get angry quickly, and I'm already in my head thinking, what am I going to say? Look, I paid almost $300 to listen to your conversation. Do you want to switch seats so you could, like, in my head, I'm thinking about how I'm going to fucking handle this because I really. So the song ends, and it's just right before intermission. And the guy to my left, it must, you know, I don't hide my emotions well. I mean, I think you've said I've come a long way over the years, but I haven't nailed that.
Okay.
I ever will. I didn't say anything, but I'm sure the look on my face.
Right.
So the guy to my left.
Did it almost look like Joe Coletta was asking Frank Vincent for something while he was on the phone?
If it was the reversal? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Right. But I also didn't go out of my way like to stare him down either.
Right.
But I'm sure. So anyway, at the end of that. Last or one of the last songs before intermission, the guy to my left, he goes, can I get you a beer? I'm like, what? He goes, I want to buy you a beer, and, you know, I apologize about my friend. I go, oh, well, thanks, man. Comes back with a beer, and then he starts telling me. He flew in from San Francisco, and kid in front of me, in the row in front, flew from Mexico, and how he spent it. And he doesn't speak English, the one in front of me. Obviously, the one to my left does.
Right.
So now we're all talking, and he's translating the guy in front of me, and now I actually said to him, I go, okay, now I get it. You know, the excitement and the talking. And,
okay.
And now we're talking friendly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he saw my tattoo, the Mexican kid who wanted to take a picture of it. He was all excited, and he's talking
about... He's
obviously
a huge Floyd fan. Right.
He's talking about how he saw Waters in Mexico City, and again, how he spent over $800 to get here to see him, and we were talking about the shirt I was wearing. It was kind of like this, you know, he was wearing his shirt from the tour he saw Waters at. And I said something, you know, like to the effect of, did you get a shirt for this show? And he just kind of looked down and said something to his friend, you know, like old Solomon. His friend goes, you know, he couldn't afford with the. And I just instantly go, I was going to buy a program. Come on, you're getting a fucking shirt. And I walked these two guys, and they thought I was kidding. Like I was just going to grab a tour program, which I did. But then we're online, I ask him what size he is, and the guy starts, like, tearing up.
And no shit.
I bought the guy a shirt, and am I a fucking weirdo?
No.
I got to tell you, man, it was the greatest.
It is.
It felt amazing.
There's a thing in your brain that it's like, it's not dopamine. Dopamine is when you get, like.
Yeah, no, I know.
But there's something
endorphins,
else. It's like an endorphin. Where when you do something for somebody, it's that feeling you get. You basically, ruin this for you. But what you did was great. But the person you made, you probably made yourself feel just as good as that guy.
So I'm selfish?
No, I mean I'm jokingly saying
know,
you're
I know,
selfish.
I know,
but
I know.
It's there, and it's actually.
But you got to keep in mind, this is a guy 10 minutes prior, I wish I had my taser.
Yeah, you wanted to fucking murder him, right? Right. Yeah, but that's the, and there was a guy I was listening to this audio book, and he was talking about how.
Please don't tell me you're listening to self help books.
No. This guy, it's cool. It's not a self help thing.
Right.
And he was talking about how he was walking through Manhattan. And he was walking down the street, and he saw a guy, you know, fucking all these people walking on the sidewalks. And he saw a guy fucking, he like bumped into somebody accidentally, and he had like a briefcase, and his briefcase opened up and fell, and papers went all over the fucking place. Mm. So he stopped, and he helped the guy,
right?
You know? And the guy, you know, he helped him. It probably took like 2 minutes. Helped him, and then the guy, obviously, just like, you know, your Mexican friend,
right,
was very... like, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, that was really nice of you.
Yeah.
So we said, so you probably think, well, the moral of the story is that, you know, hey, you help somebody, it makes them feel good, and then you move on. He goes, no. I fucking got up after I was done, and I walked like another block, and I was at the next light, and some guy taps me on the shoulder. He goes, hey, I saw what you did. That was pretty cool. So he said, even watching somebody do something for somebody else,
right,
does the same thing. Even though he didn't do anything, it made him feel good that he saw somebody do something for somebody. So if somebody would have saw you do that, that would have made them feel good too.
Yeah,
it's like a weird type of a thing.
You know, his friend that was translating, he, you know, he was doing that the rest of the night.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
So generous, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in just, the moment, it was no big deal. It's
right.
$40, whatever. But it made the guy's night.
Yeah.
So it was...
and it's weird because, you know what? Maybe because of that, he was even in a better mood. And then maybe when he got to his hotel, he didn't smack his girlfriend around. You know what I mean? So maybe you did like a reverse fucking, you know, butterfly effect where, you know what? It probably went on, it trailed off, but that was a good thing.
It is crazy.
It didn't take anything. You didn't have to fucking make some speech and go, you know, trying to rescue people out of a fucking, out of a well.
No,
something simple. And something very, I'm just going to do that because I just felt like doing it.
And it was amazing because I told you how the whole situation started. And then by the end,
to go from
literally
one extreme to another.
Arm around each other, singing along, like.
Yeah, totally into the fucking concert and getting totally into it.
And yeah, like it was just.
It's a
crazy experience. Yeah.
It's a weird type of thing, but it's very simple. And it's odd that, you know, these two greaseballs that are doing this right now, me and you, who can be so atrocious and so negative and all that, but there's nothing wrong. I love it. I love fucking stories like that.
You can understand why I wasn't apprehensive to tell you, but I know there are friends of mine that if I told, they go, you just wasted $40, you faggot. Like, what is wrong with you?
No.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying there are, I know I would get that response.
Well, I mean, if it's joking, that's fine. But, I mean, in reality, you know, if you think like that, like, you didn't fucking, you know, it's not like you, you know, took your coat and put it over a puddle and had him walk across because he didn't want his boots to get wet.
Right.
You were like, it was just a genuine, that's the thing, it was genuine. You didn't think, hey, I'm going to do this because you know what? Then he's going to be like fucking like all like, you know, he's going to think I'm amazing. There was no
totally
thought
in the moment. It was just
a fucking moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is going to sound corny, but if there were a lot more moments like that, you know, hey, listen, it happens to me all the time because I'm driving constantly that, you know, I'll be sitting there and don't get me wrong. I'm driving all fucking day. Like, I'm surprised I haven't bludgeoned anybody to death, you know, with all the nonsense with driving. But you know what? Sometimes I'll just be sitting there and I'll be in traffic and somebody's trying to squeeze in. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Come on in. Go ahead. What the fuck is the difference? And you know what? Instead of fucking causing friction at that moment for no reason whatsoever, they weren't being a dick. They weren't being. And you know what? Maybe, you know, that person was having a fucking, just got out of work and they were having a shitty fucking day and they just wanted to get home and they were pissed off. And they're like, thanks, man. And for that moment, there was a little bit of alleviated some of the fucking stress. And you know what? Maybe this guy doesn't go home and smack his wife around after having a couple of natty ices. You know what I mean?
Right.
So but it's not like, and the difference is, it's the same thing. I didn't sit there and be like, you know what? I'm going to be a hero today. I'm going to let this guy in. And you didn't do that either. Because you know what? There are people that like try to do that, you know? But it was organic.
Now that would be weird.
Yeah, of course.
It was like a premeditated.
Like standing there like Superman waiting to get your accolades. It's like, no, you thought of it at that moment, and you were like, dude, Let's get you a fucking shirt.
Yeah.
That's it. It's great. You know, it's like you want to hear more stories about that. So when you do act like a shithead, we can actually sit there and be like, you know what? He is a good boy, though. He does.
Why do you think I'm making the story public?
He says dumb shit, but he's a good dude. No, I think it's great. It's so simple. And you know what? And it's not like it should be like something where you're standing around waiting for people to throw roses at you.
I don't want any accolades. That's not why I'm telling the story.
No, of course. I know why you're telling the story, because you're telling, going from, I wanted to fucking murder these guys.
That's the whole point. Exactly.
And then, you know, 30 minutes later, we were fucking, you know, arm in arm fucking
literally
singing.
Literally arm in arm.
Yeah.
Swaying and singing.
Absolutely.
It was never in a million years, I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
I love, listen, as much as I'm a fucking, I can be a real piece of shit, there's nothing better than watching. To me, watching a fucking video, like on YouTube, of a fucking bully getting theirs, somebody acting like a dick, and then getting it right in the mush.
How satisfying is that?
Oh, it's the best.
I know.
Because I'm getting to a point now, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting soft, because I'm getting older, or maybe I'm getting estrogen pumped into my body somehow. Maybe my wife's fucking putting estrogen in the food. But I can't fucking... Don't get me wrong. I can watch movies. I can watch as much violence. I don't care. Entertainment, fucking gangster movies, all that shit. I can't watch fucking... I can't watch these fucking videos of like three or four dudes fucking smashing some guy and kicking the shit.
I can't
watch it anymore. I went out of my way to watch it, but now I'm to a point where I don't even want to see it.
No, it makes me too angry.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, and I know it's a little bit of an offshoot, I always said, if you want to show, here's a test for anybody to prove if you're a fucking true racist or not, black or white or whatever. Mm-hmm. You watch two videos. One video where five black dudes kick the shit out of some white kid for no reason.
Right.
And just fucking just kicking them and blah, blah, blah. Then 5 minutes later, watch another video of five white kids kicking the shit out of a black kid for absolutely no reason. You should feel the same exact way for both videos.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, if you feel like if one bothered you and one didn't, you got a fucking little bit of an issue.
I'd say more than a little.
Or if you like both of them, then there's a whole different issue going on. You might be some sort of sociopath. And that's okay. I get that. Well, you know, then you're just a fucking weirdo. But I've always said, if you react the same, then you're just a regular person who doesn't like some people because of who they are or their behavior. You know what I mean? You know, like I do a joke about how
they grew up.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's always...
It really comes out to behavior. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know, you could sit there and fucking look at somebody and judge them, and then you
talk
to...
That is a natural thing.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, of course, the extent of the judgment is the problem.
Right.
But just the simple... That is a natural human instinct.
It's fucking... It's human instinct to see somebody or something that's different.
It isn't a member of your, quote, tribe.
Yes.
It goes back to our tribal.
Yeah, and then you get a little bit like, whoa, what's that?
Right.
And that's okay. As long as you use it as a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Just use it as a defense mechanism to go, all right, you know what, you're not familiar to me, so I'm going to be a little standoffish. But then, you know, then you can, you know, be a little more trepidatious and go and then be like, all right, are you all right? Are you cool? And then you read them and then you do your human instinct thing and be like, all right, this guy's all right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or this guy's fucking garbage. I should have fucking ran when I fucking wanted to run to begin with.
I've had quite a few friends like that over the years.
Yeah? And then they're probably people that you would say, well, I would have never thought that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I always say, you know, like when it comes to race relations, I definitely hate more white people than any other fucking group. And you know why? Because those are the people that I'm around most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, they say most black people are killed by other black people. Most white people are killed. Most murders of white people are killed by other white people. You know why? Because we fucking hate we hate who we're around. That's it. You know what I mean? What do you think? Fucking...
Just whoever's in our proximity.
Exactly. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's who do you hang out with? Those are the people you're either going to love or fucking hate.
Right. They're there.
They're there. And they're going to annoy the shit out of you. Doesn't mean you should murder them, but, you know, you understand, hey, you know what? I got to get the fuck away from these fucking people. Yeah. You know? That's why I do a joke about that, where I actually talk about how bad of an Italian I am. And, you know, even though I'm 100%, and I go through a couple of reasons why, and then the last one is like, oh, yeah, and I actually like black people. And I actually tag it where I say, yeah, you know what? But you know what, though? I'll tell you right now, I don't like all black people. There are some black people I don't like. You know which ones? The dicks. That's right, people. I don't like black dicks. I don't like white dicks. I don't think I mind Asian dicks because I don't think they'll hurt me as much. So, but it's just, you know, it's your environment. It's who the fuck you're around.
Right.
You know? It's like if you're, it's just, that's why they, you know, when it comes to, you know, when it, and especially with the way racial tensions are, quote, you know, at a high in this country now. And they're only
just
on,
exposed more.
It's just exposed. It's just, it is. It's just, I've been saying that the argument right now in the last couple of years with the atmosphere, you know, with, you know, all the different protests and, you know, Trayvon Martin and all these different things going on. You have the one side saying racism, the extreme, saying racism is worse than it's ever been and blah, 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 blah. And it's on fucking, it's like, you know, an epidemic. And then you have the other side saying, there isn't no racism. This fucking 50 years ago. And you know what? They're both wrong. It's
in the middle.
There are, in the reality is, there are pockets. It's pockets of race. There are individual things of racism going on. There are, it comes in pockets. It's just like anything else. Bullying comes in pockets. It happens. But it's not an epidemic because we, you know, if you think about it, if there was one video a day where you saw a fucking kid being bullied, right?
Right.
One video a day. Think about all the fucking schools in this country, right? The fucking millions of kids. If there was one a day, we would think it was fucking insane. Like, oh my God, what's going on with this world?
That's nothing.
It's nothing. It's and I know that it's more, but with the amount of video that's out there now, we're getting so much of everything thrown in our face.
Yeah, where everything's an epidemic.
Everything's an epidemic, right? Because you see it. If you didn't see, it's like, remember when that there was an Ariana Grande, that concert
in Manchester?
It? Yeah.
For the bombing?
And the bombing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the bombing, I forgot how many people, there wasn't a tremendous amount of people that died. It was a small amount of people. But there were video. Now, there wasn't video of the bomb itself, right? You didn't see anybody die. You didn't see any carnage. But all you saw, you heard some sort of explosion, and then you saw people shuffling and panicking, right? Running to get out.
Mm.
Just that in itself makes it 10 times more apparent, and it makes it that much bigger because, hey, yeah, there was a bombing at a concert. That's terrible. Look at those people fucking scurrying around. It almost makes it feel like you were there because you see panic in people's fucking faces.
Right.
So it makes it, not that you know, you're going to make light of it, but it makes it seem even worse. And I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, of course, but it's horrible, but.
So it's like, you know, we need to just realize that not everything is an epidemic and everything happens in pockets. And you know what's interesting? I was talking to my brother, who's a cop.
Right.
And we were discussing the whole thing and he was talking about it. He told me an interesting story. It was bringing up about another cop or whatever. But we were talking about it, and I said, "Oh wow, I'm having a total fucking brain freeze. I totally forgot what I was going to fucking say." But
in the meantime, you reminded me with the cop. Have we talked about the 7/5 documentary?
No.
Really?
Oh, was that the one in New York?
Yeah.
From like the 80s.
I mean, it was just released about a year ago.
But it was from the 80s.
You mean when all this shit took place? Yeah.
It was late all about 80s, the drugs. 90s,
Michael Dowd,
I think I remember.
Dirty cop.
I think I remember seeing like clips of it. I definitely didn't see it.
You gotta watch this fucking. It's one of the best documentaries
I've
ever seen.
It's called Netflix The 7/5?
Yeah, it's called You gotta watch it.
Okay.
But no, because your brother's a cop, and that's what got me thinking of it. I just watched it again, probably for the fifth time. It's that good.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. So I was talking, we were talking, you know, he was talking about, you know, race relations with cops and when, you know, when those people felt like, you know, that cops were being targeted and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
remember?
They were.
Right. In Dallas. At and some then there's, point. Yeah. Then there's those two cops that were fucking killed.
Just sitting in their car.
Sitting in their car and killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was like, you know, and I tried to explain to him that I said, look, because he was sort of blaming Obama's reaction to what was going on, to why it escalated, and then those cops got killed in Dallas and all that. And I said, look, I said, let me ask you something. If there was no fucking internet, no videos of fucking cops doing, whether they were doing something wrong or not, but something that's questionable, and then people putting out their own videos, and then somebody making a comment, and then somebody trolling that person, and blah, 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 blah. Do you think it would have escalated? And he just looked at me and goes, all right, I agree. And I go, do you think if there was not Obama, if there was a George Bush or a Trump in office at the time, do you think it would have still? He thinks that it wouldn't have. But I said, really? He thinks it wouldn't have
no,
escalated.
I'm saying, he really thinks that?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Even after that argument you just made?
Yeah, yeah. He agrees to one side, but not the other. So I said, well, you know what? Let me ask you something. Why is it that now it seems to have calmed down, right? If you look at it, you know, we're not sitting there thinking, oh, cops are, you know, being targeted and blah, blah, blah. And I go, I'll tell you why. There hasn't been as many videos coming out of cops doing something questionable that are going to raise all these different things. So I said, do I know why? I don't know. Maybe now cops are sitting there going, you know what? I need to watch myself, you know, or they think twice about something. And my brother makes a good point. He goes, you know what? I'll tell you why some of it is. He goes, maybe I'll see a couple of guys who are looking a little questionable. I'm not going to bother pulling them over because, you know, why am I going to sit there and get maybe into an altercation where it's going to affect? So maybe there are guys just saying, you know what? I see those two guys driving. I'm not even going to bother fucking pulling him over.
I'm sure he's not the only one.
And I'm sure he's not the only one.
Yeah.
You know? But unfortunately, I think that they're, because they're cops, and they fucking, you know, it's what they do. They're going to be scrutinized even more. And, you know, you could talk to a cop, say, you know what? Fucking put yourself in a fucking situation like that. Even, you know, we weren't trained, but your old man was a fucking cop.
Right.
So put yourself in their situation and tell me if you're going to fucking make the exact fucking split decision, split second decision every time.
You can never know.
You never know.
Unless you're in that situation.
As long as it's not an egregious fucking, you know, 1940s fucking cop fucking. Yeah,
right.
That's all.
That's clearly a different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then you're just a dick. And let's face it, wherever you work, if you work in a building with 1,000 people, let's face it, there's going to be 50 dicks working there. Absolute dicks.
Right.
So if there's I think there's a million cops in America. I think the number is somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million cops in America. Even if it's 0.1%, you're talking about a couple of thousand cops that are no good. And you think, well, that's nothing. Well, of course it's nothing. But if there's a video of a guy, then they think, oh, well, fucking all cops are terrible. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, just stop it already. I put a tweet up once a long time ago. I said,
people who think like that will accuse people of being narrow-minded.
Oh, yeah, of course.
How fucking ironic is that? Those are the same people.
Well, that's what I said, you know what, it's funny, because when this whole thing was going on, I put a tweet up, I said, you know what, black people above all people should know, you don't judge a whole group of people
based on
the
one.
Bad behavior of a few.
Right.
You know what I mean? Shouldn't happen to you, shouldn't happen to fucking people, you know, cops either, or firemen, or, you know, whoever, you know, if they do fucked up shit. Anyway, I'm babbling and ranting.
No,
I apologize.
No, shut up.
Oh, my wife wants me to text her nephew. It's his birthday.
Oh, would you do a birthday shout out?
He might be listening. Happy birthday, Mark. It's my wife's my wife's nephew, and it's his birthday. And you would think, oh, it's, you know, he's like 11. He wants his birthday. He's 30-something years old.
Jesus Christ.
Because my wife, her older siblings are a lot older than her.
Okay.
So she was one of those young aunts. Right. She was like an aunt when she was like 8 years old, you know?
I think, I'll be 34 in November. I think maybe 2 years ago is when I stopped giving a shit about birthdays. Like, it used to be like, ooh, one of my friends going to plan a thing? Am I going to get together with... And I think, yeah, maybe a year or two ago. I'm just, I don't care.
No, I
really
mean,
don't give a shit.
I think it's all about just if I'm going to do something fun.
I'm not
fun.
Putting down your...
No. I know what you're saying. But it's, if it's like, hey, for my birthday, if, you know, my wife has a plan where we're going to all go out and we're going to have a big dinner or something like that, you know, it's like... That I'm looking forward to, but not because it's my birthday. It's because I'm going to hang out with some friends and have a good time. You know, listen, right. They had a surprise party for me when I was 30. Then they had a surprise party for my 40th. I'm done. You know, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to buy me any fucking gifts. I finally turned into my father. You don't have to buy me anything. You know,
how was that your surprise party, right? Wasn't that the one I was at?
Yeah.
Your 50th? Was that what that?
No. Wait a minute. Which? The one
I feel like I was at some kind of surprise.
Is that
party.
The one when they were when they played the?
I went with Johnny O. I think me and him drove together. Maybe I'm thinking of a completely different event. But you were there. I was meeting you there.
Oh, then it was my 40th because my 30th. I didn't know you.
Okay,
my 30th.
Then, what did I say? Oh yeah, so it must have been the 40th.
Yeah. That was in. They had it in a hall, and then they played the video with all the slideshow that Fernandez made from when I was a kid. Me dressed up as Ozzy in high school, like a fucking moron.
Yeah,
that was my 40th. That was a good time, you know.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I knew that was coming. That was one of those. My 30th, I had no idea, but my 40th, I knew because my friend Jen, who lives down in Virginia, was up here, and she hardly ever comes up here. So I knew that, you know. I even had a piece of paper. Do you remember? I pulled a piece of paper out and said I knew it.
Did you let your chick know that you knew, or you pretended you had no idea?
No. She was just my friend.
Oh, that time it wasn't?
Yeah, I wasn't with Beverly yet.
That's right.
I started dating Beverly like 10 months later. So I just knew. I'm like, she never comes up here. She only comes up here because she's from up here. But, you know, she's got kids, she's married, you know, she hardly comes up here. I'm like, yeah, you happen to be coming up here right around my 30th birthday.
Right.
You know, I mean my 40th, so I fucking knew. And I had to prove it to everybody.
Well, speaking of us getting older.
Yeah.
Have you been checking out stories, just in general, about how shit is in schools these days and just how... I don't know if it sounds... If we're going to sound like old men talking about how great it was in schools...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we went, I mean, for one, like the bullying thing, that was just part of growing up.
Yeah.
There was, I mean.
Well, the thing is, the definition of bullying is different now than it was back then.
Because no one really defined it back then. It was just like.
No. Listen, it's like porn. You may not be able to define it, but I know when I see it. I know bullying, and I know if somebody's being a bully or somebody's just fucking with another kid.
Right.
Because it's a one-time thing. If you look up the word bullying. There's a word relentless that's in the definition. And we seem to forget that. Like, one kid goes up and pushes another kid because he wants to get into a fight, that's not bullying. It's a kid being a dick.
Right.
But if it's a constant and he's just constantly harassing him and there's more than one person harassing one person, then you might be able to use the term bullying. But, you know, look, there's no difference. The only difference now is that there is online bullying because there was no online 20 years ago.
Right.
That's the only true difference. But if just some kid's fucking with another kid, he's being a dick.
But, I just brought that up because we mentioned bullying before, but other shit like dress codes, I've noticed, this is the worst segue ever, but this is what I wanted to bring up. If you want to hop around and take a look at this, Joe, this is a video we could play, but this is the headline. Busty teen kicked out of class for wearing this outfit.
Busty?
Busty.
Hold on, I want to see this.
Okay. Now I'm going to put it in the...
Busty teen. It sounds like something I've Googled on Pornhub.
Let me put it in the video here. So that outfit that we're looking at is unacceptable. Let's find out more. But, I mean...
What?
Yeah, I don't even see it as...
It's a fucking sweater and jeans.
Yeah. There's no cleavage. There's no... Oh, this is one of those videos where there's just text. All right, so I'll just read it. Kelsey Anderson, 17, was wearing a long-sleeve maroon top and blue jeans on Friday when the teacher told Anderson that, quote, plus-sized women... That right there, I read as fat girl, which she's not.
Which she's not, yeah, exactly.
Need to shop at stores that sell plus-size clothes. Now, wait, is this in front of the class? I mean, speaking of fucking bullying, hang on. Where's a pickup? Okay. And you're going to have to try harder. She really needs to speak to my daughter. Oh, they just... This article, it's like it starts mid-sentence. All right. She said her daughter requested to be removed from the teacher's class because she was, quote, embarrassed and horrified. The principal denied the request. Refused to put my daughter in a situation where her self-esteem is completely destroyed. But I want to get back to what was actually said. This is the mother. The whole time she was missing out on an education while we were all sitting in a room discussing her boobs. How often does this happen to your sons? Let's see. Posted a video to her Facebook page, which shows someone describing a shirt that a male student... Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Where is it? Because there was a quote from the teacher that was... And it might have been the one I just read, but that was in front of the class. Calling her, what was it, plus-size woman, and she needs to... I don't know, but this is how fucking crazy he's gotten.
So what is the complaint on
that
her
that she
end?
Violated the dress code.
What dress code? Is it a
Catholic
school?
Here's a quote
school?
From the teacher. Okay. Wait, hang on. No, it's a, as far as I know, it's a public school. Apparently, this video's on the videos. I'm just going to read. Joplin High School. Okay, so it's public high school.
Is that Joplin in Missouri?
This is... Well, let me see. Hang on. Sorry for the dead air. I have to get back to you on that, Joplin.
Oh, don't worry about it. I just knew a chick from Joplin.
Joplin High School student, Kelsey Anderson, says she was kicked out of class for wearing this outfit, the one we just saw, of course. And I don't know why there's no... All right. Anderson says the teacher told her she was too, quote, busty and referred to her as plus-sized. Teen's mom struck back on Facebook in a post that went viral. This is the shirt that just got my 17-year-old dress-coded. The teacher said, your boobs are bigger than most girls, and you are going to have to try harder.
Try harder at what? Strap them down? Wear something that... She wasn't wearing something that, you know, like showing all the
wasn't
cleavage.
Revealing, right.
Right.
Only one of these girls got dress code violated today. Please share. And they show a picture of the girl we just saw.
Right.
And some other girl with, okay, a tighter shirt.
Okay.
But still not.
How's the rack?
Not bad.
Not bad? Okay.
Definitely busty, unlike the complainant.
Yeah.
Not busty. Also not plus size either. I don't know, but I've seen plenty of articles like this about dress codes in public schools that I just,
you know,
what the fuck.
I got thrown out of school for what thrown out, but they made me change my shirt when I was a sophomore. I had a shirt that somebody got me for my birthday, and the shirt said Michael Jackson sucks.
That's really edgy, Joe.
yeah. That, yeah, I was an edgy kid. Yeah, I really, you know, I pushed the envelope. I don't know, man.
So what happened? Nothing. I mean, back then, what was the ramifications? Were you suspended like this girl?
No. They just made me change my shirt.
Buxom.
They're like, no, you can't wear that shirt in school anymore. I was like, all right. This, I don't even understand. I don't even know where to go with this.
No, I know. I don't either.
It's the strangest thing. Because there's nothing.
It's one of so many examples, that's why I bring it up, where it's almost to the point where I kind of understand and no longer look at people as psychotic that say they want to homeschool their kids. It's a little weird still.
Yeah.
But it's starting to make a little sense when you see what the fuck is going on in these public schools.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, public schools, I mean, depending on the area.
Not that it was amazing when we went, but it wasn't like that. I mean,
I don't think so. You know? I mean,
but it wasn't like this psychotic,
again,
strict.
Now, again, this is a story that if it happened in the 80s or 90s, would we even know about it?
No way.
There would be
if
no way.
If it happened one town over, we wouldn't fucking know.
No, probably wouldn't even know, because it wouldn't be.
If we didn't go to that school?
No. because the news, there was only news on certain times. They only had like an hour here, an hour in the afternoon, an hour in the evening, and an hour at night. And you think they're going to waste their time on a fucking stupid thing like this?
Yeah.
But now that we have 24-hour news, they're going to put something like this on there to fucking fill in the time. Because they need to. So they're going to get every stupid-ass fucking story, something that shouldn't even be a... First of all, it shouldn't happen, and it shouldn't even be a story.
But
you know,
that's the bigger part is, yeah, why is this news?
Yeah. It's idiotic. It's just dumb behavior by either the school, you know, whoever it is, the administrators, the fucking vice principal, whoever. I actually don't blame her or her mother.
No, of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah, the mother's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
This is my kid. She's just going to school. She's dressed nice. I mean, yeah. She got little, you know, little slits in her kneecaps, you know, but...
On her jeans, yeah, but...
Yeah, who cares?
It's not like it's...
Yeah.
Peppermint Patty in the chat, this may be the first time someone complained about big boobs.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons I brought it up. It's just the way people look to pick apart everything and anything these days.
Yeah. It's because everybody now has been given a voice, and not everybody should have a voice. Only a certain percentage of the fucking population should have a voice. A true voice.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that their fucking opinion matters because they got a Twitter account, they have a Facebook, they have a blog, and guess what? It doesn't.
But I always
I was going to say, your opinion matters to you and maybe a couple of your friends, not the public.
But see, now, I always go back to this, though. Who do you blame? The shithead blogger on Jezebel or whatever, even lower than that. Let's say it's just like a Facebook post. Like, do you blame the person that wrote it or the amount of people that flock to it and go, yeah, and hold their fists up like, yeah, this is a cause we have to get behind?
Did you watch South Park, that three or four part episode about the election?
With the high school.
And the high school.
Principal.
But also the trolling.
The last couple episodes I remember seeing was the high school principal doing the PC thing.
And that was hilarious. But if you go to season 20, go to like...
what you're talking about.
But they were talking about trolling.
Okay.
And it was Kyle's father ended up being a troll. But he only trolled because he just, he just thought it was funny. But they showed this equation about... I forgot what it was called, but it was the something effect. And it was hilarious because they showed somebody, like a little A, and this person... said something about this person. But it's not about just saying something about this person, because what happens is A says something about B. All right. But then C, D, and E go to B's fucking defense, and they become like, you know, social justice warriors.
Right.
And they go, and then they go and attack A, and then other people attack B, D, and E, you know, the other people for getting involved. So it's almost like, you know how people are outraged about everything?
Yeah.
What's more annoying now? The fact that everybody's outraged about everything, or people are now outraged that people are outraged about everything. It's become this fucking mishmash.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Right. It's this circle cycle.
It's psychotic.
Yeah.
Because we're
why can't people just fucking enjoy things anymore? I mean, like, I was talking to someone recently about a movie, and they brought up that they read online. It was the movie. Who was it? Gone Girl?
Okay.
With that crazy bitch.
Ben Affleck. I didn't see it. I always want to see it, but my wife's like, I don't think I'll like it.
You know the summary.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So, you know, it's the story. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but for those who know, and you know, you just need to know the basics. Anyway, my friend was telling me that she was reading, there were apparently like bloggers and posts and things on the net about why portray this female character as the crazy one, and on and on and on. Meanwhile, that's the point. The character, the woman, she sets up this scenario where she makes it look like the husband did this and that to her. Again, I'm not trying to spoil anything, you know, the film.
But you are spoiling for me. But anyway.
I'm not going into details.
I don't care.
Sorry. I'll stop there.
I'm never going to
find it. But here's my point. It's instead of just enjoying the film for what it is.
Right.
I don't understand this having to pick apart and looking for ulterior motives that simply are not there. Like, why can't people just fucking enjoy things?
Because
you know
what
I mean?
I agree 100%. But I think that because of the, you know, we're part of this visual reactionary world that we live in now. So now, instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to check that out. But there's this echo chamber where people will say something and then they hear somebody else. Because guess what? No matter how fucking lunatic and a crazy person that you are, there's maybe one other person on the planet that thinks the way you do. Even if it's about one thing, something right. idiotic. And so they feel their strength in numbers. So they'll say something and then they think, you know what? Somebody else, maybe subconsciously, somebody else is going to think the way I think too. And then we're going to sit there and be, you know, metaphorically high five each other and sit there and suck each other's fucking genitals and just sit there and be like, yeah, that's right. Instead of just, because before this, you just had your thoughts. Now our thoughts, we put them down on fucking on the internet, and we, you know, so
and
it's
there
like
are comments that analyze.
Yeah,
it
of course. It's you know what it is? It's the negative. It's almost like the opposite. Like when we were talking about how you bought that guy that T-shirt.
Right.
Guess what? These fucking people get that same feeling, but it's diluted because they're like, oh, somebody's liking my post. But it's not just because you put something up, you know, that you were like, I knew somebody was going to think like me. It's like, nobody fucking cares. And I think that's what
and
it is.
That's where they get the
I think
pleasure
so.
From.
That, I think that. So, because they know that there's going to be somebody who, and even if there's somebody who doesn't fucking agree with them, that still gets them juiced up. You still get juiced up because guess what? What do people love more than fucking, than something negative? A conflict. People love it. People argue politics all fucking day. You're never going to change somebody's fucking view on politics. Right. Even with a fucking horse's ass in the fucking White House.
Oh,
you're never going to fucking...
You simply can't reach.
Doesn't matter.
It just, yeah.
There's no possible way.
Fucking deaf ears.
But it doesn't matter. And the and it just... it's and I think it's all stems from that type of a... That feeling you get... And just like that feeling you got, but yours was natural. You just didn't think that you were going to get that feeling. You just did something. These people right. are doing it because, I want somebody to like it. I want somebody to like what I think or think what I think. Yeah. You know, but when it becomes fucking insanity, like something as stupid as that, yeah. if it's like, hey, I don't like our fucking, you know, I don't like the Democrats or I don't like the Republicans. Well, you're going to find a large group of people that right. will agree with you. But and it's kind of it's sort of rational. It's like, all right, you know what? I don't like politics, or I don't like these. But just something but like really
the nitpicking yeah. over the most mundane, and then turn. But then to them, they're turning into this big, you know, let's say in this case, a woman's issue or whatever. And it's like no,
because they'll find somebody who will turn it into something else.
And then you know, along the same lines, and I'm not trying to like stick on. Bashing women, but it just reminded me, you know, TV shows. I've read articles, both sides, majority, maybe you say, Twin Peaks, for instance.
Okay.
Every female that was cast was put in a light of they were brash and they were seen as you know, these, you know, what's the other word? Like they talk down to their husbands, like they're
condescending.
Yeah, like that. Like they were. You know, portray why are they portrayed all like that? But then there's other shows. There's not enough females in the there's, and I know I keep using females as an example, but it's like that with everything and
every fucking,
group and
every fucking
thing. Either not enough
imagine.
Or
there's
it's
too much,
not
or
done
why
the
are they
right
portrayed
way,
like this?
Or it's
because fucking, it's the minority. But like. I'll go back to the whole cop thing, right? I was when that whole cop thing was going on, and cops were like, kind of, you know, look, let's just call it the way it is. In the fucking in the black community, forever. This isn't just since fucking 2012. Cops are viewed as they're viewed as the enemy.
Yeah,
they just are.
Unfortunately,
unfortunately not yeah. with all, but generally, yeah. So it's not just because, you know, since fucking 2012 or since Obama became president. But anyway, So they, I have so many things going in my fucking head now. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say.
Something when they were being targeted, or when they, when people think of them as bad.
Oh, right.
That.
Oh, so anyway, so I remember I was watching this show on Fox, and it had nothing to do with the, that it was Fox. It was just happened to be a show on Fox, yeah. And they were discussing it. It had four or five people, but they had this audience on, like, bleachers with, like, maybe 15 people that were in the studio.
Okay.
And then, so they had, you know, a couple of people. They of course, put their opinion, their comment, right?
Right.
And this one black woman says, and I'm not quoting, but I'm paraphrasing, what we need to do is get rid of all the policemen in America, not kill them, but get rid of them, in other words, and let each city police themselves. Now, the look you're giving me is the look that 99.999% of the people in this fuck, on this planet would give.
I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Don't even know where to start. And that's not the point. The point is that that fucking idiot... Nor look, those people exist, but now that we live in the world that we live in with technology, we heard something. Like, we should have, we never would hear that idiot fucking
that
say something
point
so
of view.
Stupid.
Right,
the only people that would hear that are the people that are in the same apartment complex as her. So
wearing the same tinfoil or
exactly.
Or whatever, yeah.
So with this fucking group, with why were these women portrayed as this and that? Guess what? These people have existed since the beginning of time, but now they're...
They get a forum.
They get a forum, they get a voice, and I think what happens is they get a little bit of traction because, as my friend put it, the internet has made, it has had, the way it works is the crazies have influenced the lazies. So in other words, there might be some people who never thought like that, but they hear it. And they're
especially
like
people looking for an identity.
Looking for an identity. Yes. Thank you. There's an identity. There is truly an identity crisis in the world, and that's why people glom onto
latch
a little thing.
Latch onto these psychotic.
So yeah. Those people have existed since the beginning of time, but now those people are getting a. You're seeing their face. You're hearing the idiots speak.
Right.
So when you hear somebody say something stupid like what you were saying, like, "Oh, why are women all kids on that show?" Really? You're an idiot, but you know what? You've always been there.
But to me, you know, in that but case, it's like, who's the time
be talking
to
about
even
it?
Think about that?
Oh, people have lots of time.
You know what I mean? It,
people have lots of time.
And that goes back to my just, can't you fucking enjoy it? You know, and if not, to watch something else. But taking the time to
listen,
write this whole fucking...
Well, that's the, you know, that's the old thing. You know, listen, if you don't like what you're listening to, change your channel, turn the... But that's not good enough anymore.
But it should be so... perfect and accurate, yet it's not.
It's not.
People don't understand that.
No. Whether it was radio from fucking 20 years ago or 30 years ago or TV. It's like, look, if you don't like something, look, I'm one of those odd fucking people that if I don't like something, right, I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like we talk about, I talk about Trump, right? I've hated Trump for fucking 20 years. I can't stand this guy. He just doesn't, I don't like anybody that acts like this guy. He's to me, he's a 70-year-old. He's the situation without abs, okay? He's that guy. If fucking Trump had abs, every time he did a speech, he would pull his shirt up and show people his abs. That's how much of a jizzbag this guy is.
You can't get any more douchey.
Can't get any more douchey than him.
Yeah.
But before he got into politics, you know how much I paid attention to him? Zero.
Right.
The only time I would hear about him is when he would be plastered on the news.
Or his dumb reality show.
But I never watched it.
Right. No, me either.
Right. I didn't watch it. You know why? Because I don't like him. So now my nightmare is that my number one fucking celebrity that I cannot fucking stand to look at has become president.
And unfortunately, that nightmare is a reality.
It's a fucking... But the thing is... I don't obsess with him. I got a little bit obsessed with him because every day I would see him on fucking television, or every time I put on my fucking open up my fucking news feed, see a tweet, it was vomited onto me. But now I'm getting so much better. It's just fucking. I mean, the less I hear from this asshole, the better I feel. You know?
Yeah.
And I tell people, I go, you know, people that are like, oh, why don't people just leave him alone? I go, you know what? How about this? How about, look, every president, every politician is going to get shit. It's just going to happen, especially now with the world we live in with technology.
Yeah. But it's in the history of presidents. It's always been that way, absolutely. No matter what. Yeah.
And I said it when Obama was president. I go, if you think Obama got shit, wait till whoever wins the next one. Because more and more people, everybody has a fucking smartphone now. Everybody's got Facebook. Everybody has something. So, and you know what? Just, I'm just having these breakdowns where I'm just fucking, I have so much, I guess because I haven't spoke about anything in like fucking 3 weeks. I'm trying to get everything out at one time.
I was going to say, Pepper and Patty in the chat asked, do you think the scattered pace of social media adds to people being unable to just enjoy?
I think so. Everything is so quick. Everything is so fast that you don't even, it's almost like nobody wants to just sit back, smoke a cigarette or cigar, and watch a sunrise anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Look at concerts. What are people doing during a concert? They're videotaping the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? Look, when I had a concert, I videotaped three different parts for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was just fucking totally enjoying them. But it's like, when you're there, enjoy the moment. Don't try to be a fucking, everybody's Steven Spielberg, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Stop trying to film everything. No, enjoy the moment.
I'll take out my phone and snap a couple cool pictures.
Of course.
Put it right back in my pocket.
Yeah.
But no, the amount of times where I literally had to look through someone's phone because there were so many other phones obstructing my fucking view of the stage or the screen.
It's constant.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it goes to the same thing of what you were saying. People can't just enjoy something. Like she says, like Patty said in the chat, this whole thing, it's become mayhem. And guess what? When you're in the middle of something that you perceive as mayhem, you can't just sit back. It's not a movie. You can't just sit back and watch the mayhem. You have to get involved with it, whether it's commenting on something or reposting something or saying, aha, I told you so. It's like, you know, it's done. It's never going to come back. Steve Jobs was a prick. Fuck it. And don't get me wrong. I love Apple and all that, but Steve Jobs destroyed the world with technology. And don't get me wrong. I love technology. You know? Yeah. It's amazing. I Uber. You know what I mean? Uber and Lyft.
It's just like the internet. It's all this shit we're talking about is the negative. But without it, you and I wouldn't be doing radio shows. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, absolutely.
It's one of those.
Oh, it's a total catch-22.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, it's the idea that people just, and you get, everybody gets caught up in it. You know, the only people that don't get caught up in it are people in their 70s or 80s. They don't get caught up in this shit. Yeah. You know? Do you ever meet somebody who's under 50 who's not on fucking Facebook?
It's rare, man.
It's weird, isn't it? I want to do a joke about it, but I want to go like, I'll just say, you ever meet somebody who's like under 50 and they're not on fucking social media at all? My first reaction is, fucking A, good for you.
Right.
Good for you, pal. And then my next man is like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Right. You know what I mean?
How weirdo is that?
What's up with this guy? What's this guy? Fucking murderer? What's he hiding, you know?
Right.
But we're so used to it that we expect everybody to be part of this fucking thing.
Have you seen any Black Mirror episodes?
Yes.
How amazing is that show?
We watched like the first four episodes. Loved it. We got to watch the rest of them.
Of the first season, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they're all on Netflix now.
Yeah, me and my wife were fucking so guilty of this. We start watching a show, and then we just forget about it. But I loved it, man. The first one with the pig.
Yeah.
And the one with the fucking chick fucking with everybody on the phones watching her. I don't want to give it away, but you know that one with the girl? She wakes up and she's being attacked.
Oh, it's the same day every day. Holy shit. Yeah.
Oh, that was,
Did you see the one where, and again, not to spoil it for people out there, but the implant?
Is that the one when they were like on their bikes, treadmills, and they're
room? No, that's a different one.
Yeah.
But there's an episode where there's an implant that records everything you see.
You've ever done and said, yes. And you could go back and fucking insane.
Just like most of Charlie Brooker's show.
Is that who?
Yeah. He's the guy that does that new swipe thing in BBC.
We got to watch some more of that. Because
but the crazy thing is, just like some of his other episodes from Black Mirror, it's scary. We're not that far away from some of this shit, this technology.
Yeah.
And it's... But yeah, it's a brilliant show. And the new season's starting in about a month.
Is there been two seasons so far?
Three.
There's been three.
Yeah.
They're on four.
But I mean, like, the but first season had, like, three episodes.
Yeah, I think we were in the second season.
Okay, yeah, because the second has, like, maybe five, and then I think the third has six.
Okay.
Something like that.
I forget, yeah. I was just thinking about that the other day. We have to watch more of it.
Oh, dude, it gets better and better.
They do get better.
There's not one bad episode, and it really has.
Because I thought the one where they were on the bikes,
that one was a little slow.
It was a little tedious. I mean, it was okay.
The ending was depressing as fuck.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, this is... Yeah, and because you can almost sit there and picture yourself being part of it. Yeah, it's called Black Mirror. It's a great show.
Patty's asking in the chat what's Black Mirror. It's on Netflix. People have described it as, like, our generation's Twilight Zone.
Yeah, but it's definitely... It's British, right?
The guy who writes every episode, Charlie Brooker, is
British. British.
But there, you know, some episodes, and that's the other thing. Every episode is its own entity.
How about the one with the when the woman's fucking husband fucking dies?
Oh, and that's all you got to say.
That's all you got to say.
That
was fucking weird. Weird shit.
Beyond weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of show where at the end you'll be thinking about it for a couple of days.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
But no, all I was going to say was, you know, not every episode is filmed with British or English actors. There are Americans,
So. But I think it's got a little bit of in the writing, it's got like a British twist to it where there's just some, you can tell.
Like that type of.
Yeah, it's just it's got like a British overtone to it, not in a bad way, not at all.
Oh, no, I know.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, the fucking Office was supposed to be amazing.
Half the time they're ahead of us. I mean,
Yeah, exactly. And then we rip them off. And listen, we took All in the Family, you know? I mean, All in the Family and fucking, All in the Family was a fucking British show.
Was it?
Yeah. Sanford and Son was a British show.
No.
That was called Steptoe and Son. Yeah, it was a fucking British show.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm using examples of shows that were fucking phenomenal, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even though my Honeymooners are, like, my favorite show of all time, I think All in the Family was probably the best sitcom ever.
You know, I've never really seen more than one episode.
Of what?
Of All in the Family.
You just have to watch it.
No, I know I do. It's one of the things I got to get around
you
to doing.
You have to.
I'm sure I'll love it. It's
funny because
the one I saw was the Sammy Davis one.
Yeah, the Sammy Davis one's great. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, but it's the references are dated because it's about the early 70s.
Right,
but it's done so well, and you know it's great because it's first of all, Edith the Stapleton, his wife.
Right,
she's the whole show. She's the whole fucking show. But Archie and the son-in-law, Meathead,
right?
They're battling. It's an uber-liberal and a lunatic fucking conservative, and just they're battling back and forth.
Right.
Fucking amazing and hilarious, dude. Right. It's just, I would say you watch it until, if you ever binge-watch it,
I will.
The first fucking, once she dies... Because she dies.
Fucking thank you.
Yeah, but she dies like in the eighth season. Everybody knew she died. They read her because she didn't want to do the show anymore. Doesn't matter. You're going to know she's going to. Once she dies, you don't have to watch the show anymore. He kept going.
How many seasons were there?
Oh, he did like another four or five without her. And then it became Archie Bunker's Place. It wasn't on the
fan. They renamed it?
Yeah, but it's the same, you know, same character. But just... Watch like the first eight seasons.
Okay.
Fucking awesome. I can't believe I'm telling you about All in the Family. And I'm like, you know, I almost feel like Otto when Otto was telling me about the Godfather. And he sat down with me and watched the Godfather with me.
Right.
I almost want to watch Archie All in the Family with you.
I'm up for it.
And be like, you're going to get to see this for the first time.
Yeah.
That's what Otto told me. When Otto sat down with me and we watched the Godfather, right when it started to come on, he looks at me and goes, you know what? I'm jealous of you. I'm like, why?
Goes, I remember you telling me. Because you're envious. Getting... Did he say envious?
Yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong.
He was either envious or jealous.
Same thing, yeah.
And he goes, because you're getting to watch this for the first time.
Yeah.
And I just, on my website, I have him put a quote. I have a picture of the lowland gorilla on there.
Right.
And then it says, Conti is fearless on stage and a lowland gorilla off stage. Otto Peterson.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. So. Right. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to explain.
You want to take...
You want to take a break?
Yeah, I'll take a quick break, right?
Yeah.
We come back.
Jeez, we've only been talking an hour and a half.
I know. Let's see. I would play some Roger Waters for break, but I get a copyright and the YouTube video would be taken down in 2 hours. They've gotten so fucking strict, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's play some Two Bar. We haven't played Red.
Oh, I love Red.
I know you do. That's why I'm playing.
I'll cut your belly open. I'll suck your prick. You want to suck? I'll suck your prick. No, I'll suck your prick. He says prick.
here's a couple calls from the infamous Two Bar tapes from the Bum Bar Bastards. Check out the Cousin Joe Show in studio. Very special guest, Joe Conti.
Special.
Right here on More Like Radio. Back in a few.
You son of a bitch. I put a few bullets into you, you motherfucker bum. You're a motherfucker. Your sister's a motherfucker. You're a cocksucker. Hello.
Yeah, how'd you like to be mutilated, you motherfucker? Cocksucking fucking douche.
Listen.
Yeah?
You yellow rat bastard, why don't you come over and say all these things?
I've been there.
You know, your friends gave you away because you bragged about it, what you're doing. So they told me who you are, so I know.
Who am I?
So I know who you are.
Yeah.
So just wait until I catch up with you.
No, you're a stupid cunt.
When I catch up with you, then you'll find out how those Z, you know how you make a Z? I'm both six, you'll have it. You motherfucker.
Back with the Cousin Joe Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. A little more Roger Waters Live from his Us and Them tour. Pigs, three different ones. From the, for some reason, I think, incredibly underrated album, Animals.
Is it underrated?
You know what? Only because you mentioned Pink Floyd, people think Dark Side, The Wall, naturally, as they should, but most people haven't heard about Animals.
Really? If you think about it, dude, Animals came out
77,
the height of disco.
I never
think
even
about
thought
that.
About
that. They came out in the height of disco and stadium rock, like Boston, you know, Styx.
Right.
Like these were huge, and they put out a fucking concept album with fucking songs that were. What's the shortest song besides, you know, there's five
tracks. The first and last track. They kind of go together, but they're about 2 minutes long.
Right.
Then the three tracks in
between. The middle. Yeah. 17.
They range between, 17 to 18 minutes.
The Dogs is 17 minutes, and
right.
I think
Sheep is 9.
Sheep
minutes.
Is like 9 or 10, and the other one's like 12.
Which is this
and
one.
It's insane.
Right.
Like, and it's almost ballsy. Like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Everybody's listening to fucking disco. We're going to put out a concept album with songs that are 12 fucking 15-minute long
song. Based on George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Is this all based on Animal Farm?
Yep.
I had a feeling that it might have been, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, obviously the sheep and the
dogs,
and the,
pigs.
It's, you know, they're they're representing different things, you know?
In the workplace.
Yeah.
And beyond that, in politics, obviously.
I think dogs are businessmen. That's what I think. I think dogs are businessmen because, you know, if you listen to dogs,
and then,
it's
what,
all
the pigs would be their bosses.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I think dogs are businessmen. The pigs are fucking the leaders, and then sheep are the people. That's what I think.
Well, that's pretty clear. Sheep are
yeah. I mean, that's easy to fucking you know. But I never knew. I didn't know that they had like a thing that kind of explained the whole thing.
I'm looking that up right now because I remember reading more than one thing.
It was fucking awesome. I could just listen to fucking. I could listen to that album. I mean, it's like when you start talking about like, you know, your favorite albums by Floyd. It's really, really difficult. But I would probably do Animals and the Wall as like tied for one. You know?
Yeah. No. I'm pretty.
And
close.
I understand the Wall, but you know, I mean, when you. Because I don't even listen to a fucking song. Like, if, you know, if I'm on my iPod,
right.
If, like, a song from The Wall comes on, I won't listen to it.
You got to hear the entire
album. I got to listen to the whole album.
Yeah, no,
you have to go from one all the way through the, you know, the whole thing. It's like one giant, it's like, it is one movie, but it's like one giant song.
Well, so. I mean, especially, it's not just the concept album, The Wall. It's, I mean, I'm sure you know, the opening track, In the Flesh, it starts with Waters talking in the background,
and it's at the end.
Goes, we came in, and then the very last track, you hear him say, "Isn't this where
we came in?" That's,
so
it's a
so
constant,
it's a
loop.
Constant circle,
it's a constant
cycle.
Loop.
That's
yeah.
the point. Yeah, which I think is brilliant.
No, the whole thing. Yeah, it's just, you know, we could sit there and talk. We could sit there and talk about The Wall. You know. Probably my proudest moment was when I was with my friend Kyle, who, you know, if you remember Kyle, I did.
You mentioned him.
Yeah, Kyle, he got me started in comedy and all that. And when we used to hang out, he was the one that turned me on to Waters' solo stuff. And he turned me on to The Final Cut, which I had never heard.
Now that is fucking underrated.
Yeah, I mean, The Final Cut's just, you know, it's just awesome stuff, you know. And I remember we were listening to, it was Hey You. Right? Just listening to Hey You. It was on. Mm. And then he just, you know, and, you know, you're sitting there, you know, we're both fucking 29 years old and we're talking about, you know, what do the lyrics mean? You know, like, what does this mean?
Yeah,
And he was talking about Hey You. And then he's like, you know, with Itchy Feet and Fading Smiles, right? And he's like, he never understood what that meant. And at that moment, I just went, well, obviously, they're itchy feet because they're not sticking, their feet are getting itchy, meaning they can't take you anymore. They're going to leave. Fading smiles, they're putting on a smile for you. And he's like, holy shit. Like, it was like, this, like, no, you know, itchy right. feet. If your feet are itchy, you're going to move.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving. And I was like, yeah, I figured that out. I was all proud of myself. Like I fucking discovered fucking,
I'll
you know.
Honest, I never thought about it until you
yeah.
brought it up.
So,
but just
everybody
real quick, a quick summary. Roger Waters develops the concept that people are grouped in three groups. Fighters, dogs, which are the middle class. Rulers, pigs, upper class. And followers, bystanders, sheep.
Okay.
Lower class, working class.
Very cool.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But before we came back from break, you wanted to...
Oh, I just wanted to bring up...
Talk about something?
I was gonna talk about it on Monday, but it's such a small little thing. I just...
Can
I figured
it's a taste. We only got like 10 minutes left, and you can expand on it.
Yeah,
on Monday in your
well,
show.
Well, I figured out that I'm very good at something. That
you're very good at a lot of things.
No. But there's something that I'm very good at.
Okay.
But I hate it.
You hate that you're good at it.
No. I hate the act of it.
Okay.
But I'm very good at it.
All right.
Small talk. I hate small talk.
See, I hate it, and I.
But I'm amazing at small because if I have to. Like what I'm doing, like, you know, if I'm doing Uber or, you know, I'm in a fucking weird situation
right.
where I have to make small talk. Right. I never initiate small talk. I almost make it interesting, I think, because I'm kind of an interesting,
you know,
babbler. And
but
I
that sounds like you
that
you
I
take small talk and make it as a regular conversation.
Yeah, but I don't take it into something else. I stay within there. But
okay.
So I was sitting there at this deli near my house getting whatever I was getting. And I know the guys that work there, and they're all cool guys. And there's all these fucking townie guys that come in. I call these people townies. These are people that, either work for the town they live in, or you know they live, you know they live there and they know everybody in the town and they're towny people. They walk into the diner, everybody's like Norm from fucking Cheers. They walk in, Norm, everybody knows right. you, right?
So they know their name, they know what they're gonna order. All yeah, that shit. Right.
So the okay. these fuck this guy comes in. And he knows them too, and he's talking to them. And this other guy walks in, and I don't know if they knew each other or not, but now it was Thursday. Okay? This is very important. It was a Thursday.
Okay.
And you know how, like, people, if it's, you know, hey, it's almost the weekend, right? Dude. So the one guy's like, yep, almost the weekend. And you know what this guy says? You're not going to believe me. He was trying to say it's Thursday, right?
Right.
Which is, it's not hump day, but we're almost there.
Right.
He goes, it's Friday, Junior.
What?
I was like, I almost said, what? He said it was Friday, Junior. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This
Did
is
he say
something.
It with a big smile on his face?
Like he was fucking, like he was like this clever guy that just fucking figured out fucking calculus. He was like, it's Friday, Junior. Like, dude, shut up. I hate small talk, but I can engage with almost anybody. I can.
But that you can't engage.
No, I didn't engage. Okay. No.
That's a whole nother
like with I always said if there was a law that said we're not allowed to talk about the weather, most people wouldn't have anything to fucking say. I think because if it wasn't for the weather, there would be, you know, weather starts almost all small talk.
But it amazes me to this day, it still goes on as much as it does because it's the old cliche small talk, but it's still prevalent. Like, in other words, people have they not realized?
Oh, people, that's like, all, but that's all they know. People are boring.
Very.
Most people are boring.
Yeah.
Fucking Robin in the chat said, should have hit him with a baguette. Yeah, that is lame, Patty. You're so right. He said it was Friday, Junior. I'm like, what in the fuck? Jesus. Friday, Junior. That is brutal. That's like worse than working hard or hardly working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of the worst cliche.
Especially because he thought he was, I'm sure, clever.
That's... Yeah,
I was just the way he said looking it, like, around for approval.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure because I think I looked away in shame that I was within earshot.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just like, oh, did this guy? I almost wanted to say, did you just say Friday, Junior? Get the fuck out of this store, you know? But yeah, bad news. Small talk led Cousin Joe to buying Stranger a shirt, though. Robin's got a good point. Yeah, there's the positives of small talk, but it wasn't small talk.
I don't view that as small talk, actually.
Joe, like, trying not to explode and be an asshole at a concert.
Right. and that just kind of came out of it.
Work hard. Oh, wait. Worst is work hard, play hard. People say that? Like, what's the concept? Like, what's the...
During the week, you work hard, but, when that whistle blows, that bell rings,
you slide down the dinosaur Fred Flintstone, and it's fucking...
And it's party time.
Shut up.
You go Stop down to about your party. Friend's man cave, and you...
go to the man cave. I'm going to get myself an IPA, shove a bottle in my asshole, and then watch fucking 2 and a Half Men. Fuck you. God, work hard, play hard. Ew. But Friday Junior, worst thing I've ever heard.
That is really...
I've never heard anything worse than Friday Junior.
It's fucking atrocious.
It's terrible.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was bad. Yep. They agree 100% in the chat room. Fucking Friday. You know, it's like hump day, you know?
Well, I mean, that really... came around with those stupid commercials that I haven't watched
with the
TV
with the camel.
Yeah, but I think it died down since then, thankfully.
Oh yeah, but I mean, people will say, "Hey, it's hump day," you know.
Yeah, but that was the first I really heard a lot. Like when commercials. Yeah.
But I mean, it's hump. You know, Monday. You know, 4 days till Friday. It's almost Friday. It's like, dude, if your life is so pitiful that all you do is think about fucking the weekend so you could drink your beers.
Might be time to change jobs.
Yeah, you know?
Might be time to look into
Don't get me wrong. You can look forward to...
Oh, yeah.
Because you maybe have things to do, you know, or you're going to a party, or you're going to a friend's house. You're going to go, okay, I'm going to go play poker. I'm going to go, I got shows, whatever. You know, we got stuff to do.
A man cave to go to.
I got a man cave.
Is it just me that bothers?
Oh, man cave is just...
And I have friends that, you know... call a spot in their place. I mean,
it's just part of your
and they
house.
Make it a point of saying, I'm like, why do you have to do that?
Yeah, why do you have to do it? Kenny had a funny line. We ended up making a fucking 30-second clip of it. Clip, and I was like, I hate the fucking phrase man cave. He goes, yeah, you know what? Fuck that man cave. You know what? Chaz Bono has a man cave. That's it. That's the only time we should reference a man cave.
That is the sheer definition.
How about Thirsty Thursday? I don't know.
I've seen whatever on Facebook.
What's that in other words? Because, you know, people go out on Thursday night.
For it's drinks, I guess, because it's almost the weekend. It's almost guess that's the concept. Thursday. I don't know.
That one, I don't know. It's Thursday. But any time you take some sort of, you know, cliche.
Sunday fun day.
Oh, Sunday fun. Happy wife, happy life. I've been here. I've heard that so many times since I got married.
I've never heard that one.
You never heard that one?
Happy life. There's plaques. Happy wife.
No, it's happy wife, oh, right. Happy course, life. Yeah. So in other words, if a wife's happy, then things are okay. But if she's miserable, you know, it doesn't matter if a guy's miserable or not.
Right, sounds like a healthy relationship.
Yeah, of course. Jesus Christ. There's people that have fucking, a little thing in their house. Happy life, happy wife, happy life.
God.
Ugh. Yeah, the cliche thing, you know.
You think they'll ever go away?
No, of course not. Friday Junior's probably going to explode at one point. And everybody's going to be calling Thursday
it's
Friday
become
Junior.
A fucking hashtag.
Dang, there'll be comedy shows. The Friday Junior comedy show. Oh, come on out. Could you imagine? It's the Friday Junior.
Joe, yeah. I heard you do this Cousin Joseph. When is it on?
It's on Friday Junior. It's on Friday Junior, 7 p.m., motherfucker. Yeah, Friday Junior. Come on, man. It's almost Friday. It's in between hump day and fucking Friday. Ooh. Oh, God. Jesus, you're only an hour away. I don't know. I don't know if, because Robin's down in Philly, so I don't know if there's like different sayings down there.
No, I think they just say things weirder.
Just, you know what it is? It's like watching, and you don't watch this because you don't watch sports.
No.
But it's watching athletes being interviewed. The most boring thing ever because
they don't say
anything. They say the same thing. You
is
know?
It because they're afraid of saying something wrong or they're just boring people?
No, I think it's because they know, especially football players, they're always supposed to be really close to the vest. And if they're not, they end up... You know, end up being a, you know, oh, he's
well,
this
I don't
guy's
know what that means. Close to the
In
best.
Other words, you don't lip, you know, you don't tell people about what's going on. You don't really,
oh,
you know,
so
if they say, what do you guys think? Yeah, well, about the game itself.
Okay. See, this you is know? How little I
yeah,
know about
Yeah, it's
this
all
world.
Like cliches. Hey, you know what? We got to work harder and we got to give the other team credit. And, you know, at the end of the day is said so
overused.
That and it is what it is. Are probably two of the most over fucking used sayings, and the word I have a literally,
yeah.
The word literally.
I try not to use that.
Me and Kenny, we actually made a game of it because one day I had the little bell that we have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody has those bells. I never used it. Right. One night I would just keep ringing the bell every
Whenever
couple minutes.
Of you said
when I don't use the word literally all the time. Every time he used the word literally, I would ring the bell. He didn't know what the fuck I was ringing the bell for.
That's great.
At the end of the show, and nobody in the chat room knew either. Right. And then at the end of the show, I let people know. I said, look, every time he says literally. So now we made it a bit on the show. Goofed on it. Now, I mean, he probably would say it 15 times in 2 hours. Yeah. Now, maybe two or three times because now he's aware of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because... Like, the word literally should be used. Like, here's a case. Like, let's say we're at a party, and there's like, punch, Kool-Aid, and somebody puts something in it, you know? Somebody urinated in it. That's when you go, hey, dude, do not drink the Kool-Aid. Because drinking the Kool-Aid right. is a phrase.
I don't just mean the saying. I mean
do not drink it.
So it would apply there. Yeah,
right. Because people say that all the time. It's like, dude, there were literally 10 people there. You don't have to say literally
right.
when you say 10 people.
I'll take your word for it. There were 10 people.
Yeah, there were 10 people. Yeah. You know, if you say hundreds, you know, it's usually when it's a phrase.
Right.
And then you're actually, you know, it's amazing to me that how many people use that word completely unnecessarily. Same stuff. Yep, same stuff in every interview. But I understand that. But it's always at the end of the day, we got to work harder. We got to put our nose to the grindstone. It's like they learn all these phrases and they just use them.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I got to give the other team credit. You know, they played a hard game.
You get right back up
on a horse. You know, and I don't blame them because, you know, the team itself don't want you to get into it. So, you know, and it's like the most boring interview. It's like, dude, why even bother fucking listening? Why even bother putting the mic in front of them? You know they're not going to say anything because you know why? They're waiting for the one guy to say something fucked up or, you know, because they're pissed off. And they're like, fuck these guys. These guys stink, you know?
I remember the only, and of course, this is what made it cross over to my world. Was some Asian guy, I think he was a baseball player, talking about how he couldn't play because he had diarrhea. And that went viral because he said it just as a matter of fact. Like, you know, in his country, like, yeah, no, I had diarrhea. But, you know, we think that's hysterical.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, they were just speaking frank. Like, they were just saying. That's the you asked me why, I just told you why.
Right. But, yeah.
Because we're children, that's why.
Yeah.
Listen, I have my. Sometimes I think I'm a pedophile because my wife, she acts like a 7-year-old sometimes. You know, the duty jokes and.
Well, that's just having a good sense of humor.
Oh no, that's great. I love it. You know, she got a great sense of humor about that. She loved toilet humor. She married the right guy, I guess.
Certainly did. That's always. I don't know. You think like how many dates would you say you have to be on before you would feel comfortable doing the fart test in front of a girl? Or is the very idea of a fart test just me being psychotic?
No, I think it's a valid test
where, like, if the girl laughs, all right, she's cool.
It wouldn't be on a date. In other words...
No, definitely not a first date.
No. In other words, for me, it would have never happened on, quote, a date. Only because, in other words, if you're on a date, that means it's still in the very beginning. Because after a while, you can... What do you count? The first 4 dates? You go out if you start dating a chick for 6 months, you're not like, we're on our 37th date. You don't think that.
You're right. Yeah.
So at least with the, I've had 2 main girlfriends where they were, you know, Beverly, who I married, and my ex, where I dated a year and a half. Everybody else was 2 months.
Patty Sane's a valid test. Okay.
I don't think there is. I think it just, for both of me and my, my 2 exes, they both farted on me first.
See, now that's the perfect situation.
Yeah. I remember I remember with my ex, I was laying on the fucking living room floor, like watching TV like this, you know, like on my stomach.
Right.
And she jumped on my back and farted and bounced off and then took off. Like she was hilarious. It was hilarious. And then with Beverly, she one day, I think we were in a car. I forget exactly where. And she used to, when we were still, like, you know, dating, she would roll her window down. And then I guess she would silently gas.
Okay.
But because she didn't want me to smell it.
Right.
And I remember she would roll it down, and then I'd be like, what's up? She goes, I have problems. But I remember when she fucking gassed on me the first time. She gassed on me, and my wife's a gassy fucking woman. She is. I used to call her Gaseous Clay instead of Cassius Clay. And she farted on me, and then I literally said, you just flew your little suicide planes and dropped your little bombs. I'm bringing Nagasaki. I'm bringing the fucking bomb. You don't even know what you have fucking done. I am, and she just kind of looked at me like, oh, man. And then I just destroyed her. I destroyed. It's been a couple times where I remember once she was out, completely out sleeping. Passed out, and I gassed in the room, you know, in the bed.
Yeah.
And it didn't even wake her up. The sound didn't wake her up. And all of a sudden,
did you waft the covers?
Woke her up, and she just went, you douche. And then went right back to sleep. Yeah, there's been a couple times. But you know what? Remember when she got sick? Remember when she got she was in the hospital for a couple days?
Yeah.
She got MRSA.
Right.
From when I was in the hospital for like 2 days when I got my stent put in.
Yeah, yeah.
She is basically, since she's gotten MRSA, she doesn't fart anymore.
What?
Dude.
MRSA's like a gas.
I don't know. Since she's been back in the hospital, since she's got back, you know, out of the hospital, and that was back in June, she's farted like twice. She's like, I don't gas anymore.
I'm just curious. Is it the same as me? That's what I got.
Oh, she had... no. Oh, okay. I used to think that she had that.
Okay.
But now she just stopped farting. She's farted like twice since June. And dude, it's the farts, constant. We have fart wars, you know. We call it fart wars, you know.
Right.
And but ever since she got sick, since she got better, she goes, yeah. There's just like this pool of this reaction now where I'm not gassy anymore. And I'm like, it's fucking weird, you know. Like, how does that happen? How do you go from like she's the gassiest fucking human being I ever met in my life. She's gassed twice in 3 months.
You sure it's not like a diet change? Like something?
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, strange. Yeah. Robin, boo. No fart, Bev. Cousin Joe must be doubled over by the end of a date. Yeah, well, so with me, it could never, I would have, dude, I still don't, like, when it comes to going to the bathroom, like, I will not, like, if I'm going number two,
yeah,
door's got to be closed. Like, I can't, I can just leave the door open and take a leak.
Right, right.
But she would, if it wasn't for me saying, you need to shut the door, she would dump right in front of me.
Yeah.
But I told her.
I had a relationship like that.
But I told her, I said, no, but she respects that. She shuts the door. She lets me know.
I think I only had one relationship like that where I'd be at her place and I would just leave the door open while taking a dump.
I can't do it. It's just me.
I think it stemmed from her, you know, thinking, you know, and agreeing farting is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would threaten her all the time. Like, when I would stay over her house, that there's going to be one morning you wake up, I'm going to fart in your pussy. And I never got the chance to do it.
Yeah, you would. I guess, how would that work? Would you guys spoon?
Reverse spoon.
It's a reverse spoon where she's on the outside?
No, I always imagined that, you know, she'd be lying on her back, and I would just like squat over her ledge and just fart into it.
Do the
and wake her up that way. It was always this thing I threatened as obviously a joke, not like, you know.
Oh, that's great.
If we ever get back together, I'll have to let you know, update you on
that. But see, I have a weird kind of a thing with going number two. See, when I was a kid, we used to go to this place up in upstate New York, all of our families, me and my cousins. It was called the Broken Wheel Ranch, right? Cool. I think it should be a name of a band.
Was this like a cabin type thing you'd rent out, or like?
No, it was like a place where they had horses and all that. There was a big house that they had. It was a dining room where you would go and have three meals there. They would have three meals: one at like 9, one at like 2, and then at like 6 o'clock. But there was all the. It almost looked like a motel, you know, one floor. And they were all, you know, and there was like a little like bar or like a place where we could hang out with a jukebox in it. But it was nature, right? So one day we were in the dining room, you know, and there's like 30 people that were there because there's like 30 rooms or, you know, 15 rooms. And so I said, you know, I'm like 8 years old or 10 years old. I'm like, Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. He goes, all right, it's right over there. Go ahead. So I go to the bathroom and I thought that if the fucking thing... Yeah, I go turn the thing. If it's somebody's in there, it's going to be locked.
Of course.
Well, first of all, it was a unisex bathroom. Just one bathroom, you know?
That is rare. Okay.
Yeah. So girls and guys, and I go to open it. It was unlocked. I open the door, and there's this giant fat woman in like a muumuu sitting on the toilet right in front of me. And she was like, ah! I'm like, ah! I slammed the door, and I ran back. And my father's like, did you go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I don't have to go anymore. And ever since then, when I go to the bathroom, like, if I go to, like, I'm always weary on opening the door. I'm always like, I wonder if I'm going to catch somebody, you know. And that's why, when I'm, like, even, dude, if I'm in, like, a stall, you know, like public someplace, right. And if there's other people in there, when I go to, when I drop a deuce, I have to do the flush as it drops so they don't hear
me.
So they don't hear me. Like, I'll be like, and then, so they don't hear. And plus, it's also nice because then you're not stinking up the joint, you know?
Right, right.
But I don't want anybody hearing me. It's like jerking off. Like, well, I don't care. People know that. I mean, of course, I'm a guy. I masturbate. Yeah. I don't want anybody ever fucking hearing me do it. Yeah. I don't want anybody hearing me take a crap.
I got a weird thing, too, with just pissing in public bathroom. I have to go in a stall. Only
Of course, because there's no urinal that can hold your cock.
it's the only time I can...
Fucking wraps around it like a fucking snake. Like a.
But it's, especially at concerts, you know, when you're going in and there's... Or any, you know, event, sport, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a line of guys behind you, just... And I know they're looking, waiting for you to... And that
right, like
makes
how long
so
is this fucking
worse.
Taking you, yeah.
I could only do that if I've had quite a few drinks and I just... Doesn't matter. I just piss. But otherwise, I gotta wait for the stall to piss in. I can't.
Okay.
I get too pee shy.
Okay. But I understand that because you all of a sudden you're
there's too much pressure.
There's too much pressure. You're yeah. like you have to perform
right.
And it's not like you're performing for anybody. But they're like, hey, when are you done with your set?
Right.
You
exactly,
know
exactly. Yeah.
When are you done with your fucking episode? When
especially
are you done
if
with
it's
your
a
show?
Volatile, drunken crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Just, you know, does not help. Do you mean how many times I've faked? Pissing?
No.
Like, where I was at a stall.
Really?
In a public, just like, you know, concert, whatever setting, and there's been a line of guys behind me, and the pressure, I can't go, so I'll fake the shake, I'll sit back up, and then I walk away.
And then what, do you wait 10 minutes and go back and go into the stall?
Yep.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
It's
understandable, you know? I understand.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We all have those weird fucking little, you know, idiosyncrasies about ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Me, I just don't like taking a dump in public, you know?
Yeah, it's just the pressure thing, I guess, because, I mean, if...
And I can go, and by the way, I can go anywhere.
What do
you
mean?
Like my friend Teddy Daniels, you know Teddy?
Of course.
He has to go to the bathroom when he takes a dump. He has to do it at his house. Unless he's like away on vacation or something, or if he's 3 hours away from...
Now, is it like a sanitary reason in his
head? I don't think so. I think it's just he wants to be home.
Okay.
So he will do whatever he can to hold off and wait till he goes home, and then he'll take a dump. That's weird shit, because no pun intended. But I could go anywhere, you know?
See, I avoid that at all costs.
You put a hole in a fucking tree stump, you know? Cut a tree and leave a hole. I'll sit right on the stump and drop right there.
Do you put the paper down?
No.
On the seat? No?
I'll clean. Like, I'll take a little paper towel and I'll wipe it.
Right.
I don't put that fucking thing down, no.
Not even, like, the cutout thing. I mean, just, I'll take strips of toilet paper and put it over the...
No, I know people that do that. No, I just don't. I'll clean it.
It depends on where I am.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if it's filthy,
right.
You know, sometimes you just gotta, like God, I used to say, just hover and then let go of the Snickers bar. You hover. So, yeah, but... Yeah, who knew that the small talk would end up with
we're overtime.
toilet chat.
Well, we should probably wrap up here.
Yeah, I'm going to get home.
I know. You got a long drive, and you had a long drive here, which I really do appreciate.
No, man, I had a lot of fun. I'm glad I came up. Now, from my house, it's not that bad, you know?
Oh, yeah,
I'll definitely be able to come back and do
whatever,
the show.
Man.
And the fucking studio is awesome.
Oh,
it's great.
I love it down here.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Seriously.
Right here.
In all seriousness, whether it's All in the Family or whatever, we got to hang out down here and watch something on the big screen.
Absolutely.
You and I.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. You got the big screen.
Yeah, there's the projector up there. I finally got it all figured out.
Yeah.
I had it mounted.
Nice.
So, like I said, I can crank it up as loud as... I mean, if you want to watch a 7.5, whatever. But definitely come back soon, whether it's
definitely.
On or off the air, you know. Regardless.
All right. Awesome.
But, again, thanks, man. Conti from The Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, right here. On More Like Radio. Thanks to you guys in the chat. We really appreciate it. Thanks to you guys not in the chat, just listening, whether it's live or download. We'll be back next Thursday. I think Dan will be here.
Dan DiMarino?
Yep.
I love Dan.
Be back. Yeah, I mean, that's the other reason I haven't done every week is, you know, Dan's busy with his work. But he should be available.
Good.
Next week, so we'll see you then. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again.
And it's also the end of broadcasting for Thursday, the end of broadcasting for 1970.
Beardale 9, decreasing 6 in Humber later. Rain, then showers, moderate and poor becoming good. Southwesterly, 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9.
At the third stroke, it will be 11, 24, and 50 seconds. At the third stroke, it will be 11, 25.
This is the British Broadcasting Corporation.
At the third stroke, it will be 8, 4, 5,
otherwise variable 4, mainly normally in southeast.
A happy new year to you.
At the third stroke, it will be 11, 25, precisely.
Good night, everyone.
With me now, under lemon tree skies, show me the shy, slow smile you keep hidden by warm brown eyes. Catch the sweet hover. Lips just barely apart, and wonder at love's sweet ache and the wild beat of my heart. Up by the sea.